Have your scriptures with you this morning. We're in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. You can turn there. Ephesians 6, we'll be looking at verses 10 through 13. If you're using a Pew Bible, it should be page 979. I think I forgot to mention, for those who don't know, I'll be having surgery Tuesday. I have to be there at 7:30. That's when I have to get there. I don't know what time it should be, so it should be a relatively simple procedure, but you know, you can keep me in prayer for a good surgery, good recovery. Should be outpatient, and I'll be out recovering. But if you think of it, you can lift me up in prayer. I'd appreciate it. And Vanessa, who has to deal with me. The last time I had surgery done, I was pretty angry after the surgery because I guess the anesthesia made me a little bit loopy. So I was told I should try to write a sermon while I'm coming out of the anesthesia. It might be more lively. So I'll think about it. So we're in Ephesians 6. This morning, it's beginning a new topic, a transition. Paul's closing his letter out after he's been talking and sharing about us being imitators of God and things. But he's transitioning to this idea of putting on the full armor of God. It's not an actual physical armor, but it's spiritual realities that we should cover our whole being with, remembering who we are in Christ and living in God's strength, for we have an adversary. That adversary is Satan. The demons. This life is a spiritual battle. We wrestle against the world and the influences of the world. We wrestle against our own fallen nature. And on top of all that, we have to wrestle against the influences of Satan and his demons. I know many people in our society today that hold an evolutionary view would say this is just kind of quirky, old school, just archaic stuff. But these are things Jesus dealt with in his life and ministry in a great, profound way. We saw it in the ministry of the disciples, and they continue to have influence today. So at the beginning, as a Christian, hear this, as a Christian who believes in Christ, you cannot be possessed, you cannot be demon-possessed, is my understanding and belief in the Scriptures. You who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You will never become demon-possessed. You are Christ. You are God's. But he will harass you. He will try to shipwreck your faith. He will try to create all kinds of doubts, distractions, and do everything. And it's not blatant. It's very, very subtle. Because if it was blatant, we'd recognize it. But he's very, very crafty. He's very, very subtle. And we can end down that path of heartache and wickedness if we don't watch ourselves. So Paul gives this idea of covering ourselves in the armor of God, to standing in the strength of his might. And so we'll spend several weeks on this. Today is more of an introduction, this idea of standing in the strength of God. John McCombs will be here next Sunday. I'll be preaching for you while I'm just recovering from everything. And then we'll jump back into it. We'll look at the different elements, the different pieces of this armor that God wants us to put on. So let me pray, and we'll get started as we introduce this topic this morning. Father, we do pray that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we would get it fixed in our minds that we can't walk this life on our own strength. We'll mess it up. I pray that you would cause in us to hunger and thirst for your truths, that we would understand who you are, that we would understand who we are in Christ and the power that's available to us to walk through hard and difficult road to the end, to glory, that we're not doing this in our own strength. So Lord, we pray that you would speak to us today. I pray that you would keep the evil one from trying to snatch it away from us, that the seed that would be sown today, your word, would take root in good ground, that the Holy Spirit that you've prepared. So speak to our hearts and our minds. Help us to take these things to heart and be encouraged that we're not alone, that we have the armor of God right there to put on, and that you'll walk us through anything. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we'll look at verses 10 through 13 this morning. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. We'll stop there for this morning. Christian, you who believe in Christ, you who have said, yeah, I am a sinner and I'm without hope and I need Christ. He's my Savior and He is my Lord and I will follow Him all the days of my life. If that is you, you have actually left one kingdom and king to follow another. Scripture talks about that you have been brought out of the kingdom of darkness and Satan's domain into the kingdom of His Son, of light and righteousness and holiness. Ephesians earlier on in this talks about it in chapter 2. It said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once, you followed the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air. We used to be followers of Satan. In our fallenness, he was blinding us. In our rebellion, we were walking in the ways of the devil. But he continues to say, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even though we were dead, he made us alive. By Christ we have been saved. Colossians talks about you've been delivered from the domain of darkness and brought into the kingdom of his Son. So you've left one king and kingdom of darkness and wickedness and rebellion and brought into the kingdom of the Son, the true King who brings redemption and righteousness. And so if you're this guy over here and you've left, he doesn't think much of you anymore. His desire is to shipwreck your faith. Scripture makes it clear, Satan is a defeated foe. Christ made a spectacle of him on the cross where Satan thought he was crushing the Messiah, destroying the Messiah. Jesus was actually laying down his life to rescue and redeem his people. And 3 days later, he busts through that grave. And Satan is a defeated foe that can no longer accuse you before God because Jesus has redeemed you. He has saved you. Satan knows his demise is set and he wants to take others with him. And for you who follow Christ, who have switched sides in a sense, he would love to shipwreck your faith. He would like to rob you of your joy. He would love to rob you of your peace. He would love to make you doubt Christ and his ability to save you. George Scipione, whom we prayed for his family, a great man of God, he's worshiping Christ now. He spoke at a commencement service for graduates of a seminary. And he told them, he says, students, what you hold in your hands is not a degree certificate, but your death certificate. He said, if you love the Lord and you put the Lord first to follow him, he says, the devil has put a target on your back. One of the things Satan would love to do for the church and the ministers especially, if you can take down the pastor, the sheep will scatter. Target on my back. And as Christians, as followers, you try to live out your faith, again, he will try to rob you of your joy, your peace. He'll try to get you to doubt all kinds of things. Our local resident rapper, RFTL, that's a wonderful song. He says, there's an enemy out there that wants you dead. This war is for real. Don't be misled. If you think you're in control, you'll be surprised. He's stealing people's souls and taking lives. Your purpose in life is to serve the Lord. You're a frontline soldier in a spiritual war. It's a war against Satan and his legion of demons. He's an invisible foe. You can't even see him. It's in this battle, it's in this spiritual battle, this unseen battle, but a very, very real battle, that you are called this morning to put on this armor of God, these truths of God, of who you are in Christ and how you ought to live and to stand in His strength. And in God's armor, there's no gaps, there's no weaknesses. If you put this on daily, this helmet of salvation, this breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, a belt of truth, and your gospel, your feet having the gospel in it, there's no gaps, there's no kinks. And come what may, you will stand. You can go forward in the battle of life. Sometimes we think of ourselves that we're forgiven, we're in Christ, but we can figure this thing of life out on our own. We have an armor available to us, but our problem is we don't put it on. We don't like to remember. We don't like to sit and study. We don't like to soak it in. And He says it's right here, to hear it over and over and over again, that when the doubts, the frustrations, the anxieties, the worries, the trouble, the trial comes, you can stand firm in My strength, He says. And so the theme for this morning is to trust the armor of God. Put it on. Put it on continually. If you want to live this life that we've been talking about of transforming grace, a true follower, a true soldier for Christ, you need to put on the armor of God. The first point I want to emphasize this morning is that you have entered a battle and you have the Lord's strength within your reach to withstand your enemy. You have entered a spiritual battle and you have the Lord's strength within reach to withstand your enemy. Look at verse 10. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." We have covered much thus far in our study of Ephesians. Paul has been telling us since chapter 4 that we are called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, that we are called to be imitators of God, that we shouldn't walk as unbelievers anymore, that we should walk together as the body of Christ in unity, in humility, in gentleness, in patience, and bearing with one another with long suffering. We are to walk in wisdom, to redeem the time, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wives are to honor their husbands above their own self-interest. Husbands are to honor their wives above their self-interest. Children, listen and obey your parents and honor them. Parents, instruct, discipline, and don't cause your children to get angry for no good reason. We are called to honor and love and serve and respect one another. And if you take those commands seriously, if you take God's call on your life seriously, you will need the strength of God to live them out, because Satan will come in there in some way, in some form, or some fashion, one of his demons, and say, "Did God really say that? Why would you be patient with that person? Look what they do to you all the time. Your spouse, do you really think they care about you? Just go do what you want." He has his ways to create doubt, to create distraction, to doubt the very things that God is calling you to and to believe. You will need the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who raised Christ's dead body that was in the tomb, that same Spirit now dwells in us. We need His strength continually to live these things out. If we don't study, if we don't pray, if we don't anchor into the truths of God, He will come in some form or fashion, him or his minions, to sidetrack us. Will fall. Two of Paul's prayers in Ephesians earlier on, in Ephesians 1:19, he says, "I pray that you would know the immeasurable greatness of His power." It's there, it's within our reach. Paul says, pray for it. Pray for His power to get through the day so that I can honor my wife, that I can take care of my kids, that I can serve others well. Pray for that power in your heart and your mind to do it. Ephesians 3:16, he says, "I pray that you would have strength with the power of the Spirit to comprehend the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of love of Christ for you. That you always remember and be rooted in Christ. That you remember how powerful that is. That His salvation is full and complete. You are a child of God in Christ Jesus, and that will never ever change. So when the doubts and the concerns and the frustrations come, you say, no, I am in Christ. I am in union with Christ, and He will never let go of me. There's power there within my reach to change and become more like Christ in this walk. I love the passage in Isaiah 40, starting at verse 28. Isaiah writes, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. He does not grow weary. And that's good news. Because we will get tired. We will get weary. We will become restless. We will become burdened. If we try to go through this life on our own, trying to figure it out on our own, we will just fall as dead men. We need the Lord's strength, and it's available to us. And the good news is that our God does not grow tired. He does not grow weary. There's a reservoir of immeasurable love and immeasurable strength right there before us if we seek it. In Isaiah 40, he continues in verse 29. He says, He gives power to the faint. You feel fainted? You feel lost in this battle? He gives power to you. Young men shall fall exhausted. Youths will faint and be weary. But he says, those who wait on the Lord, you'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk. There's a spiritual battle. And he says, stand in the Lord's strength. He says, put on the truths of the love of God, the power of God, the purpose of God. This is what the armor will represent as we get into it in details in the coming weeks. He's stand in those truths and those strengths and His power. And there's real power there. Again, that same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is there to seek you, guide you, transform you, and give you peace in all these things. Almighty God has given you Himself and an armor for this battle to defend you. The second thing to note as we go through this is that your enemy is spiritual, he's clever, and he's persistent. Your enemy is spiritual, he's clever, and he's persistent. In verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Your adversary is spiritual. It's the devil and all his minions, evil in the heavenly places. This list, different commentators don't know if it's a hierarchy of structure within this realm, but it's just this idea that there's all kinds of wicked and evil influences out there that you need to be mindful of. We increasingly live in a society that doubts the existence of such beings. People are more willing to believe in aliens than God or demons. Yet if they're honest and look around, there's much, much wickedness. Just look at the history of humanity. That's not natural. It's not good. It needs to be fought against and put out. One writer writes of our enemy, he says, it's because the devil seldom attacks openly, preferring darkness to light, that when he does transform himself into an angel of light, we are caught unsuspecting. He's as dangerous as a wolf, but he enters as a sheep. Sometimes he roars like a lion, but he's more subtle like a serpent. He's clever. He's persistent. Most of you are familiar with Simon Peter, one of the disciples of Christ, and he's like most of us. We like to try to do things in our own strengths. We got this thing of faith figured out. Follow Jesus, I'm good. Follow him wherever he wants me to go. And Jesus told Simon Peter, said, Simon, Simon, the devil has asked for you. He wants to sift you like wheat. But take heart, Peter, I've prayed for you. And when you fall and you're restored, go to my brothers and love them. And Peter's like, fall? I'm going with you to prison or to death, wherever you want to go. And Jesus is like, tell you, three times you'll deny me before the rooster crows. And you know the story. And how did he do it? How did Satan do it? How did he get him to do it? It was just people asking him questions. Peter, are you one of his followers? Fear, peer pressure, doubts. Maybe he's not the Messiah. No, I don't know. I don't know. We need to stand in the strength of God. We need to stand in his armor to be continually reminded of who Christ is and who we are in Christ in those times. He's clever. He's persistent. John Stott writes, he says, if God has a plan to create a new society of people within Christ and a unity in Christ all over this world, you can bet that Satan and his demons will do everything they can to destroy it. If God, through Jesus, has broken down the walls dividing human beings of different races and cultures from each other, you can bet the devil and his emissaries will strive to rebuild walls of divisions. If God intended his reconciled and redeemed people to live together in harmony and purity, you can bet the powers of hell will try to scatter among them and sow seeds of discord and sin. If we are holy and blameless in Christ, the devil will try to get us to not believe it, to doubt it, to question it. That's why we're told to wage war, we're to wrestle against these spiritual forces in God's strength, in his armor. In his truth. Satan and demons will put thoughts in your heads. You say you're a Christian? Sure about that? Look how many times you sin and you fall back into that sin. You really? And you say, I am a Christian. Because I trust Christ who saved me. You remind yourself. You get those thoughts out of your head. I know I wrestle with sin, but no one can bring a charge against me. I'm his. He's paid it in full. He'll get into your mind and say, why do you honor those people? Why do you try to be kind to them? They're so mean to you all the time. Because I'm called to. Because I wasn't very kind and I wasn't very nice to my Savior and he still loved me. So you put on the truths, you put on the armor, the doubts, the frustrations. When you say, I want to divide, they do things different from me. Instead of just casting them off, you strive for unity. He's very subtle, he's very clever, and he's very persistent. It's why you need the armor, the strength of God to stand in his truths, or you'll fall for the lies, the questions, the doubts, the unbelief. And the last thing is that we are called to trust the armor and we need to put it on so that we can stand firm in Christ. He says in verse 13, he says, take up the whole armor of God, the whole thing, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Commentators debate whether he's using the analogy of the Roman soldier that he's tied to. He's under house arrest and he's looking at the shield and the breastplate and the helmet of salvation and using the soldier's garb as an analogy to tell us what he's going to talk about. Another commentator, maybe he's thinking about Isaiah 59. It's at least worth noting. So if you're taking notes or if you want to look in Isaiah 59, there's this beautiful passage between verses 11 and 20. And so in that passage in Isaiah, the people of God are moaning, they're groaning, they're helpless. They realize their utter failureness, their sins, their transgressions. There's no justice in the land. No one cares. There's only problems all over the place. There's transgressing. There's denying the Lord. People are turning their back. It's all over. It seems like it's just a hopeless cause. And the Lord looks down and he sees there's no one to intercede. There's no one to redeem. And this is what he says in Isaiah 59, starting at verse 16. He says, I saw there was no man, God says, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. And it says, then his own arm, God's arm, brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. Verse 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so will he repay wrath due to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies, to the coastlands. He will render repayment, so they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and the glory from the rising of the sun. For it will come like a rushing stream which the wind of the Lord drives, and a redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. It's a picture of God putting on a breastplate. It's a picture of God putting on a helmet of salvation and going to war and battle to save his helpless people. So when we were totally lost, totally in despair, lost in our sin, God says, I will come. I will take out my enemies. I will take out their enemies and redeem my people. And Paul says, put those truths on. Put that armor. Put on God's armor to stand in his strength, or you will fall. Put on those truths that God is your mighty warrior who did everything to deliver you and save you. It's a done thing. Put those truths on and live and stand in that strength. We are called to put on this armor. A belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, a shield of faith, and the feet that have the gospel. We'll talk about those in great things, but it's to remind us of everything that God has done for us and how we can move forward in this life of who we are in Christ. We'll cover each piece in detail in the weeks ahead. But hear what God's calling you to. There's a Redeemer named Jesus. He's given you truth. He says, stand in that. Live in that. Let that protect your heart and your mind. This Jesus has given you a righteousness. Put on that breastplate that I am holy in Christ, that you stand in it. As you wrestle against sin, as you wrestle against trying to flesh out how to be like Christ in the world, I stand in the righteousness of Christ and his breastplate that Satan can throw all his darts at me. It's going to bounce off because no one can bring a charge against me. He has given us good news for my feet that wherever I walk, wherever I go, I'm a forgiven child of God. The war between me and God is over. I am his child. And you take that everywhere you go. And you share it. You take up the shield of faith. And you stand in it. That God has given you faith. That you believe. That you have affections for Christ. That is a gift of his that you stand in. You take that helmet of salvation. Put it in your mind that you belong to him. You're not of this world. That you are a child of God. It is him who did it. He says, stand in my armor, put it on, and wield that word of God, that sword of the Spirit, reminding yourself who you are and reminding the world who you are and Satan himself. William Garnall writes of the importance of the armor. In heaven, we will not need the armor anymore. We'll have robes of glory. But the armor, it's to be worn night and day. We must walk, work, sleep in the armor, or else we're not true soldiers of Christ. It's in this armor we are to stand, to never relax, to take our vigilance. For the saint's sleeping time is Satan's tempting time. Even a fly will dare to creep on a sleeping lion. Only God can defend and deliver us from the might and the cleverness and persistent schemes of the evil one and his minions. Peter, who knew what it was like to be sifted, He denied Christ three times. He knew it. He experienced it. And Christ restored him. He asked him, "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me?" He says, "You know I do." He says, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." The same Peter who experienced this in a very vivid way, he writes later on in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be sober-minded." Think. Think clearly, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Think. You can't live this life on your own. There's a war between our fallen nature, the world itself, and the devil and his minions. And Paul says, stand in the strength of God. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand. Christian, the devil has a target on your back. He wants to rob you of your joy, rob you of your peace, rob you of your assurance. And if you know the truths of God, you put that armor and say, "I belong to him." You're a defeated foe. Death is not the end. My sin is not the end. I am redeemed, child of God. And you've put that in your heart and mind over and over as a child and soldier for Christ. He doesn't want you to walk without assurance. He doesn't want you to walk in worry. He doesn't want you to be troubled. No matter what you go through, I am a child of God, covered and filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will walk me through everything. As RFTL says, there's an enemy out there that wants you dead. The war's for real. Don't be misled. Again, you can't be possessed as a Christian. You cannot be demon-possessed, but he'll harass you. He wants to frustrate you. He wants to make you doubt. And Paul says, stand in the strength of the Lord Almighty. Put on the full armor of God. Cover yourself completely. Don't just put some of it on. All the truths of who you are in Christ. And if you want to rehearse that, look back at Ephesians 1 and 2. Read that today. I am chosen. I am redeemed. I am sealed. I am new in Christ. That is your identity as you're trying to live it out in a calling honoring to God. Live in the strength of God. Put on that full armor. We'll look at all the details in the coming weeks. We'll look at each part of the armor. But strive to be filled with the Holy Spirit. For the battle's raging on. Don't let him rob you of your joy. Don't let him cause you to doubt. Put on that full armor and stand in the strength of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you've not left us alone. So you just don't give us a ticket to heaven, but you change us, you transform us, and you dwell within us. And you say, live in you, walk in you, walk in the Spirit. Lord, help us to realize that this world is not all there is. There's a lot at stake. Lord, we cry out to help us. Help our unbelief. We live in a society that says, the devil, Satan, really? If we're honest, look around. There's a lot of garbage. And so, Lord, help us to be soldiers for Christ, to serve the King with a lot of grace, with a lot of love, with a lot of patience, but in the power of his might, knowing that this same Christ who saved us can save many. Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we would have peace. Fill us with your Spirit that we'd have joy to walk in the freedom that we belong to Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.